Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today is November 24th. The year 2023, you have tuned into the first portion of our Friday service. The first portion is about 25 minutes or so of playing chapter 18 of the Quran out of Surah Al-Kahf, which in English means chapter of the case. And we are doing this in following the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet. So for the next 25 minutes, we'll play chapter 18 of the Quran. And about 5 minutes till, about 25 minutes, we will have the first adhan, the first call to prayer, and continue from there. As-salamu alaykum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave, and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قَيِّمًا لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِّن لَّدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward, wherein they will abide forever. And to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor had their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight.
فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا.
Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years.
ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا.
And afterward we raised them up that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside him, for then should we utter an enormity.
هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا.
These our people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذْ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاور عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غربت تقرضهم ذات الشمال وهم في فجوة من ذلك من آيات الله من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set, go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوصيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner we disclosed them to the people of the city that they might know that the promise of Allah is true, and that as for the hour there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them. Those who won their point said, We verily shall build a place of worship over them.
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا
Some will say, They were three, their dog the fourth, and some say five, their dog the sixth, guessing at random, and some say seven, and their dog the eighth. Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا
And say not of anything, Lo, I shall do that tomorrow, except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest And say, It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this. And it is said, They tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا
Say Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is he and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside him, and he maketh none to share in his government.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change his words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking his countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا
Say, it is the truth from the Lord of you all, then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces, calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, Lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk, and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
واضرب لهم مثل الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا.
Coin for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grape, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men.
ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا.
And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou entered thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There is no strength save in Allah, though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ ويرسل عليها حسبانا من السماء فتصبح صعيدا زلقا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside.
أو يصبح ماؤها غورا فلن تستطيع له طلبا.
Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, Would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah, the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward, and better in respect of hope.
وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills, and ye see the earth emerging, and we gather them together, so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us, as we created you at the first. But ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا.
And remember when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَضُدًا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them. And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape thence.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
and naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِضُوا بِهِ الْحَقَّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنْذِرُوا هُزُوًا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوه وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth what his hands send forward to the judgment? Lo, on their hearts we have placed covering so that they understand not, and in their ears a deafness. And though thou call them to the guidance, in that case they can never be led aright. Thy Lord is the forgiver, full of mercy. If he took them to task now for what they earn, he would hasten on the doom for them. But theirs is an appointed term from which they will find no escape. And all those townships, we destroyed them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction. And when Moses said unto his servant, I will not give up until I reach the point where the two rivers meet, though I march on for ages.
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا.
And when they reached the point where the two met, they forgot their fish, and it took its way into the waters, being free.
فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا.
And when they had gone further, he said unto his servant, Bring us our breakfast. Verily, we have found fatigue in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ayya la salah. Ayya la salah. Ayya la falah. Ayya la falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا؟ قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا. قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا. قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا. فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا
He said, Did I not tell thee that thou couldst not bear with me?
قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا
Moses said, If I ask thee after this concerning aught, keep not company with me. Thou hast received an excuse from me.
فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا
So they twain journeyed on till when they came unto the folk of a certain township. They asked its folk for food, but they refused to make them guests. And they found therein a wall upon the point of falling into ruin, and he repaired it. Moses said, If thou hadst wished, thou couldst have taken payment for it.
سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا
He said, This is the parting between thee and me. I will announce unto thee the interpretation of that thou couldst not bear with patience.
أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أيا للسلام Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah. God, many shaitan from Satan, the rejected enemy. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. To bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. The name of God, the merciful benefactor, Shaitan wa la ilaha illallah. Watahu la sharika lah. I bear witness that no God but the one God and that none worthy of worship besides him. Nashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Ashadu anna Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And peace be upon his family wa ala alihi. And his companions wa sahaba. Ismail. From Abad and upon us all, the righteous. Ameen. Dear beloved Muslims, guests, Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And Allah's mercy and His blessings. We're thankful We're grateful. We are appreciative of being Muslim. We do not take this blessing lightly. We take it as a mercy from our Lord to make us Muslims in our conscious mind. If we get too warm in here, y'all can make the adjustments, okay? Because he builds up fast in here. So, yes. Alhamdulillah. So we're thankful and grateful. And we know our attention at this time of the year is to have Thanksgiving Day. And that's a good thing. Anytime you're thankful, even if it is just for one day, take it. But for believers, every day is Thanksgiving, a day for giving thanks. For believers, every day is Mother's Day. Therefore, every day is Father's Day. So we have these special occasions, and we appreciate them. We recognize them. But we're not controlled by them. We know that they are a very important symbolic message. And for that, we are grateful. For that, we are appreciative. Alhamdulillah, Hiyyubillah. It means praise be to Allah, the Lord, and of all the worlds. I want to speak today to the youth. I know there's times like this here, Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, sometimes spring break, to where we have more of the presence of our youth, and try not to miss the opportunity to say some words that will reach them. Because our youth are really us. They are us in a lot of ways. And if they're your child, your biology, yours in another way. You got the word you in youth, right? And you're trying to tell us something that is you, part of you. So I titled this topic today, An Open Letter to Our Muslim American Youth. An Open Letter to Our Muslim American Youth. And we did put the crupper down in the other room in case there's a little overflow. This is a mild joke, but it's a serious joke. It's not reserved for sisters only. You all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's really interesting when you go on Hajj, they can't pull that. Mm-mm. You go on Hajj and you go on the Kaaba and prayer time comes. They can't say, sister, get behind me over there. God can't do that. Pray to Allah, right? And help of God to call it. So today is an open letter to our Muslim American youth. And some parts may be a little sensitive, but that's okay too, because we are Muslims first. I'm going to read from Surah 31, titled Luqman. Remember that Luqman was the one who gave the wise, he's a wise person who gave advice to his son. And it says here, I will let him minister to James, he said, we bestowed in the past wisdom on Luqman. Wisdom on Luqman. It says, Luqmani al-Hikmat. We bestowed in the past wisdom on Luqman. And the wisdom was, show your gratitude to Allah as wisdom. Show your thankfulness to Allah. He goes on to say, any who is so grateful does so to the profit or benefit of his own soul. But if anyone is ungrateful, verily Allah is free of all wants, worthy of all praise. Allah is free of all wants and worthy of all praise. In that Allah who Adil Adiyah iniquity. Behold, Lukban said to his son by way of instruction, O my son, join not in worship others with Allah, for false worship is indeed the highest wrongdoing. False worship is the worst. It says, Inna shukrika la zulama azim. Zulama is saying heavy oppression. It's really on the head. Heavy, dark oppression. Zulama. And Allah said that is the highest form of wrongdoing. And we have enjoined on man to be good to his parents. In travail upon travail did his mother bear him, and in 2 years was his weaning. It says, here the command, show gratitude to me and to your parents. This is the wisdom that's given to us. It's just the wisdom given to us. Allah says, show gratitude to me and to your parents. To me is your final goal. But then Allah tells us, well, do no sense to your son, you go to the parents. He says, but if your parents, if they strive to make you join in worship with me, things of which you have no knowledge, obey them not, but bear them company in this life with justice and consideration. And follow the way of those who turn to me in love. In the end, the return of you all is to me, and I will tell you the truth and meaning of all that you did. This verse is telling us, as young people, show gratitude to your parents. If your parents try to make you, you've got a partner, Allah says, but obey them on that, but still keep good company with your parents. Does that make sense? Now, see, here it is. They say, well, I'm disagreeing with my parents because they're trying to make me give God a partner, but God doesn't allow me not to still show them kindness and to keep good company with them. A lot of wisdom in this. So that's telling us that even if we disagree with somebody, we can't get turned away from them. We still disagree with them, but we just can't just abandon people. He goes on to say, oh, my son, it's a Lukman speaking, if there be but the weight of a mustard seed, and it were hidden in a rock, or anywhere in the heavens or on earth, Allah would bring it forth. For Allah understands the finest mysteries and is well acquainted with them. Many years ago, I became a Muslim. I kept reading about the mustard seed in the Quran. So I said, to satisfy my curiosity, I went to the kitchen cabinet and got out a can with mustard seed in it. I put one mustard seed in the palm of my hand. He said, if your sin is as small as a mustard seed, so I wanted to get a value of it. So I put the mustard seed in my hand, and I closed my eyes and began to do this. I couldn't even feel it moving. So the Quran is giving us a very serious message. Allah says, if there be but the weight of a mustard seed, and it were hidden in a rock, or anywhere in the heavens or on earth, Allah will bring it forth. For Allah understands the finest mystery and is well acquainted with them. The finest mystery. Al-Latif. O my son, establish regular prayer. Enjoin what is just and forbid what is wrong. And bear with patient constancy whatever betides you. Whatever's coming at you, be patient. Be patient with it. For this is firmness of purpose in the conduct of affairs. Proverbs, don't get mad, don't get upset, don't get hasty. Allah says, be patient. And it says, and swell not your cheek for pride in men. And we learn a little bit, and make a little progress, get a little money in our pocket, and we all cocky. Allah says, don't do that. It says, and swell not your cheek for pride in men, nor walk in insolence through the earth. For Allah loves not any arrogant boaster. And be moderate in your pace and lower your voice. For the harshest of sounds, without doubt, is the brain of an ass. If you're a donkey, I can't do it. You know, yeah, right? Allah says, lower your voice. Don't be arrogant. It's like a donkey out there. And it says, Surah 21. Yes. Surah 31, verse 21. Do you not see that Allah has subjected to your use all things in the heavens and on earth? You hear that, young people? Everything on the earth Allah has put here for us and has made it submit to work for us and has made his bounties flow to you in exceeding measure, both seen and unseen. So some things we get from Allah we see, but a lot of things we get from Allah we don't see. Anybody seen their blood flow in their body? Mm-hmm. If it stops flowing, you're going to the hospital, right? There's a million things Allah has given to us that you don't see. Yet there are among men those who dispute about Allah without knowledge and without guidance and without a book to enlighten them. That's Luqman's advice to his son. Now, don't think son just means males only, sisters. This is talking to the everybody, males and females. Imam Muhammad, he explained to us, often when he used the word son in scripture, you know what son means in scripture? A student. A student, one that's studying out there. So, an open letter to our Muslim American youth. You are living in some very challenging times, more difficult than your parents' childhood, and definitely more challenging than my childhood. You all don't realize because you're born into it and you're walking and you're breathing it, you are living in some very difficult times. Now, we had our share, too, of difficulties, but not to the depth or the weight of your challenges today. Because society, the general society, people out in the world, the moral support that they give today is weak compared to when we came along. Society was more strong on moral meaning doing what is right and not doing what is wrong. When we were younger, the moral standards were very high. And you knew you couldn't do certain things. But now it's like almost anything goes. That's why you're in a more difficult situation. So, therefore, in my generation, or your parents' generation, Satan couldn't just come out and say, do this, do your thing, get by with it how he can now. Drugs. In my youth, drugs were very bad. The drugs today are far worse. We didn't have people putting embalming fluid in the drugs. We didn't have fentanyl there to take you out like that. And the drugs, all drugs are bad, but they are worse today. So guard yourself. Protect yourselves from that. When I was a child, we only had four television channels. right? They went off at midnight, and they come back on until the sunrise the next day. That was a mercy because it gave you a chance to rest your mind and to come back to yourself or spend time with your family. Now we got, what, 1,000 channels? Who in the world can watch 1,000 channels? They remind me, they said on the car, they got a sign saying, 70 miles an hour, it may give you 5, right, before they give you a ticket. But on your dashboard, it says 150. What's wrong with that, ain't it? They tempted me. So why give you all 1,000 channels? And in my day, and to a degree your parents' day on TV, they were now full of sexual content and sexual innuendos on every show, prime time especially. Spending money, getting your car, go somewhere, and find that stuff that's now on TV, feeding your minds every day, every day. Mixed up sex relationships. So yes, there was some sexual context content in our day, but not as much as you all have to devour every day. When we came up, you had one TV and one radio. Most times, Mama and Daddy decided what channel the radio was going to go on. And it was time when you could now listen to it. Now everybody got iPads and earbuds. And we have no idea who's talking to you all and what they're saying. And there's a bunch of freaks out there. A bunch of crime out there. Sexual relationships on television were between a male and a female. Not anymore. But the rule of nature and the natural male and female relationships were promoted in society. Today, you are being given a different message. As Muslims, we treat all people fair, regardless of their religion. Treat them fair. Regardless of their race, treat them fair. Even their lifestyles, treat everyone fair. Even if we are of a different religion, race, or lifestyle, respect everybody. Respect them based on the fact that they are human. And we are all a creation of Allah. But you guys read earlier where it says, if your parents try to get you to go to false worship, you don't do that for it, but you still keep good company with your parents. So there are people, societies, trends, and habits that are against Islam. And we don't follow that, that goes against Islam. But you still treat every person as being human. As the Imam Muhammad told us one time, even if I cannot love you for who you are, I still can love you for who Allah intended you to be. So respect all people, even if our religion disagrees with their teaching of their faith or with their lifestyle. You still respect them as a person. As Muslims, we believe that God is one and only one, with no partners or associates. Allah was never a baby. Yeah, folks, you listening to me? Allah was never a baby, nor did Allah ever father any children. And you know, Christians teach that God has a baby. Don't argue with them about that. Just tell you state the difference if you have to, but remain good friends with them. That's our Prophet Muhammad done. And he had many Jewish and Christian friends, even though he disagreed with some of their teachings, still he protected the rights of Jews and Christians to have their religion. Right there in Medina. So now Muslims, we do not accept or believe in same-sex marriage. But even though we do not believe in such lifestyles, still treat them with kindness. Both for the LGBT community. Treat them with kindness. Why? Because they are human beings who should be given the same rights as anybody else. I hope you can see the balance. We hold to our beliefs. Like someone go to the liquor store, say, come with me. Say, no, I don't drink. But we still know the person. We still care for the person. We say, no, I don't do that. You have to be able to stand strong. So a person can be a different lifestyle. They should get the same job opportunities, same job promotions, fair housing, not be threatened. But we have to be clear that Allah does not approve of same-sex relationships. We believe in the laws of nature and the laws of God. We do not support that which cannot produce or reproduce life. The laws of God and the laws of nature do not support that which cannot produce or reproduce life. Young people, do not gamble. Do not drink alcohol. Allah says these two vices, a vice means an evil, a wrongdoing. These two wrongdoings, alcohol and gambling, are two tools used by Satan to make us fall away from the remembrance of Allah and from making our prayers. The people who drink and get drunk, the people that are gambling, shooting dice, and playing cards for money, they got more faith in those cards and in their dice than they do in Allah. They fall away from their due remembrance of Allah. So dear Muslim youth, be strong, study, and learn your religion. Learn the Arabic religion. Learn Alice Bad Tabang Jim Hong Kong. Learn the Arabic alphabets. Learn the Arabic language. So you can become stronger and stronger in your faith. Allah says the best of you is the one who learns the Quran and then teach it. So dear young people, be studying the Quran. We are dependent on you. Our Muslim youth to take this community into the future. And for you to teach Al-Islam to your children and your grandchildren. Yeah, one day, I was like you, I had no children. I got grandchildren and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. One day you will too, inshallah. But if you don't study the religion, how are you going to teach it to them? So understand this, dear Muslims, young people, all of us, we are young to somebody, right? We are part of a long legacy of many Muslims who made serious sacrifices so that we can enjoy our Muslim life today. We owe them a debt for what they have done and for our benefit as Muslims. There are Muslims, and some of them you all know, but you never know, but they back in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s. They paid some serious prices to be Muslim. Some lost jobs. Some lost marriages. Some had to fight physically. Some went to jail. Just to be Muslim, right here in America. And you all don't see it because now the fight, that part of the fight is done with. You don't see it. But they paid serious prices. I know one sister in our city. She lost her children in the courts because she would not deny being Muslim. And you need to know these stories, young people, that, oh, that was done? For my benefit? Yes. So get yourself ready to receive this community life. Protect it and preserve it. We all owe a debt. Understand this, dear Muslims, young people. You know about the they went to Africa and got Africans, right, enslaved them, and made them slaves, right? Now, someone tell you they went to Africa and got slaves, and now they went to Africa and got Africans. Then they enslaved them. So many Africans who were stolen from the motherland, Africa, are sold into slavery were Muslims. Before many of our people came here, they were Muslims. And Islam has been a part of our African-American family for hundreds of years, going back to a thousand years. You take our African lineage back, African-American lineage back to Africa, you're going to find Islam as being a very important part. But while our people were in slavery, they didn't allow any of us to practice Islam for over 200 years. Couldn't practice Islam or Christianity on plantations. You couldn't do it. It did not allow black people, African Americans, to have any religion on plantation life. And then slowly they began to give the slaves Christianity toward the end of slavery. So know where you came from. Know what you were denied. So many of the Africans that were brought over here were Muslims, but not one was a Christian. So now Allah has allowed us to reconnect with Al-Islam after being denied for such a long, long time. And for that, we are grateful. Being a Muslim, don't let anxiety or depression bother you. I got this name, or I got to do this, and I don't fit in. Don't let that bother you. Don't get excited about that. Don't get depressed and let down behind that. You don't have to fit in. Strong to your faith. And many times the ones who may be teasing you or bothering you, watch and see. A lot of times they become Muslim later on. A lot of times. So develop a strong mind. A mindset based on what the Quran and what Allah says about us being Muslim. Live the life Allah wants you to live, not how everyone else tells you or how everyone else feels you should live. You live the religion according to the Quran. Stay strong in your religion, in your deen, your religion. Dear young people, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Understand this here, that we older folks, especially those of us, before we become Muslim, we did some things too that weren't right. That were shameful. Not good. We learn from our mistakes. We did not let our mistakes hold us down. Allah is often forgiving. We turn to Allah for forgiveness. So, dear young people, if something happens in your life and you do something wrong, you do something shameful, don't let it beat you down and make you feel bad to the way you can't fight back and stand up. Don't let others make you feel ashamed for what you have done in the past. We all done something in the past. We turn to Allah for forgiveness and get back on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. Get back on the straight path. So don't lie. Don't steal. Don't cheat. And don't hang around people who do those things. So Prophet Muhammad said to us, he said, there is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over an Arab. The nationality, you say, well, I'm an African-American, therefore I'm better than them. No. Because he said, there's no superiority of a white person over a black person, no superiority of a black person over a white person. except by your God consciousness, or how close are you to God in your being right, being good in your conduct. That determines your superiority, not your skin color, not your nationality. So as Muslims, we don't have ego. We don't have pride, arrogance. We got to be humble. We don't go around bragging all the time on ourselves. The music you all have today, there is some good music out there. But you all got some music today that they wouldn't tolerate when you came along. Nigga this, nigga that, mix this, mix that. And we're not naive. You probably know all the words of all them songs, the cuss words and all. Give in to that. Fight it. See, Allah gave me a mind for something better than that. You're putting down women. I heard that one song by Lil Wayne years ago. He said, that's my gun swag, nigga. That's my gun swag, nigga. That's how you talk. That's my gun swag, nigga. I don't do the talk of it. I let my gun talk, nigga. Yeah. Big time hit. And every night you watch the news. Two dead on the west side, one dead on the east side. But they can't see the connection. You all, we had it easier than you all had it. We didn't have that. Parents would have rolled up and said, no, you're not playing that. Call my daughter a bitch. Then they got the girls on Facebook. I say, they think, I'm a bad bitch. You know what a bitch really is? In real sense? A four-legged female dog. That's the literal meaning of a bitch. Then we got our sister girl around talking about, I'm a bitch. I'm a bad bitch. Don't ask for me. I tried to help a young lady one time. She started those CDs on the corner. And I said, well, I'm going to give them the help. I asked her one question. I said, now, it ain't vulgar, is it? She said, no, it ain't vulgar. I get two blocks. It was GD and an MF. I said, oh, okay. And I saved it. About a month passed by, and I seen it. I stopped. I said, I thought you told me it wasn't vulgar. She said, what does vulgar mean? I said, Lord have mercy. She wanted to sell the CD. It is really sad. You say words make people. And I'm going to read this coming from Imam Muhammad Ibn Dhan. The second part is going to be very short, so don't worry about it. Inshallah. Imam was speaking about words. He said, if we could take the time, we can show you and bring you to agree with us that every person is formed, created or made in the physical body by words, by language. What do we mean by language? He said, look at the number one and the number two. You may not call these words, but in God's wisdom, I am writing words. He wrote the one and the two on the board, right? These numbers were seen as words even in the wisdom of the wise of this world. He explains, a word is that which brings a message to your mind, M-I-N-D. Anything that brings a message to your mind is a word. Everything that I am doing is bringing a message to your mind, M-I-N-D. You don't call these words, but they are. What are you doing now is getting words. When the baby comes from the mother, the eyes open, and the baby sees something when the eyes are open. Right? Without a word being spoken to the child has received many words just by opening their eyes. The images that the child sees are words going into the mind of the child. The word being spoken, what you're seeing is words coming to your mind. Everything in your environment is words speaking to your mind, forming you and the body. The books you read, the language of your parents, the talk you hear in the home, the words you hear in the streets, the physical things that you look at and thought about, the physical things that you looked at and didn't think about, all are words. All these things have acted as words gone into your mind, formed you, and they are forming you for as long as you live in this world. The process of making or forming human beings never stops. It goes on all the time. If you don't want yourself to be created in ill, bad, ugly, or diseased forms, you have to get wise to the language of the environment and start selecting the things that go that you want to go into your mind. So, dear people, and our youth, whatever's on the TV, whatever on the radio, whatever on whatever you listen to your iPods, those are all words making you, shaping you, forming you. And you have to have a defense, the way to say, God gave me a brain to use, and some of that mess, I'm not accepting into my life. So may Allah bless us and guide us, and have mercy upon us. Amen. Alhamdulillah. I pray that those words will receive in the best of light, because it's difficult when you live in a society where everything goes. So they can make you feel like the bad guy. And they'll lock up the good guy or the bad guy. So that the bad guy goes and he has rights. So be very wise. Be very wise. And again, accept all people. You don't have to criticize anybody and everything, but you must know what your religion teaches. And then talk to your parents, talk to the other people. And say, what does this mean? I don't understand this part. Help me to understand. And my last comment would be, let us continue to pray for peace over the situation with Israel and Gaza. There's small indications that it may get better, but it's so pitiful what has happened. It's really pitiful. Loss of life, from the Jewish life. And what gets my attention is that the Jews get on TV and cry, oh, they killed my people. And they just can't get it out of their mouth to say, and we kill some of theirs too. They just can't get it out. Then the Palestinians say, oh, they killed our people. They hurt our people. But they can't get it out of their mouth, but we kill some of theirs too. And until that's able to happen, to where human beings see human beings before they see race, gender, nationality, it'll go on forever. Now, our hearts are heavy, quite heavy, for the Palestinian people. There were 12,000 now being killed, half of them or more, or children. Because of what they say Hamas did it, and Hamas did do it, Hamas never said they did do it. They go kill, I heard it was 1,400. You're getting close to 14,000? That's not right. That is not right. Because they want us to think this thing just out of nowhere, October 7th just poof, just out of nowhere. There's a 75-year history of abuse for the Palestinians. And I told, let me say, the interfaith breakfast, 5 days after it happened, and the rabbi, he was there, he was doing most of the speaking because he was really pouring on that conversation. Oh, he's suffering, he's suffering, and Hamas is the bad people, and got to the point to where I said, well, how do you differentiate between Hamas and those who are Gaza? The point of what I shared with him was that, I said, don't you know that you're making more terrorists now? It's time you kill an innocent baby or kill someone's father or uncle or brother, you done made the one who survived a future terrorist. And to emphasize my point, I said, just like going to the ocean and say, we got too many starfish. He said, well, how are you going to get rid of the starfish? I said, well, we cut them up, throw them back in the ocean. You know what happens to that, right? A starfish don't die. If you kill it in 5 pieces, you're going to have 5 starfish because it's going to reproduce itself. And that's what I told him at the end of faith breakfast. I said, until you change the ideology, change the thinking, it ain't going to change anything. But they have to admit, the Jewish people, that they've been some terrorists. They said, you can't say that. That's the Jewish people. Yes, I can say it. I guess there, I'll say it again. When you go and you kill people like that, that's terrorism. Hamas done, terrorism. When Israel's done, terrorism times 10. That's how we have to be. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Are they God's chosen people? Who told you that? They did. Think about that. Yeah. That's how Muhammad Ali won the ring. I'm the greatest. Who told you that, Muhammad Ali? Of course, he backed me up a lot of times. Not every time. Yeah. So, no, he cannot allow anybody on the planet to be saying something. Should be African Americans, all the mess we've been through. If anybody is free to say something to us, we're not beholding any big bank account, corporation, colleges. We're not beholding any of them. We can say the truth. What you going to take from me? What you going to get? You going to get part of the crumbs you gave me back? That's what you're going to get. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless us and guide us and have mercy upon us all. Amen. You come on, please. Go tell me, Chris, about you come on. We're going to laugh straight shoulder to shoulder. Jumma, Rock, I came to laugh at the honor of Saka Lakama. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله احد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد. الله اكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر وسواس الناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر الله لمحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Are there any announcements? Guess everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Anybody had a good Thanksgiving yesterday? Yeah, I did. No weekend school this Sunday, good. And we may have a leadership class so going to the 10:30 here. Also, the blog will be on Sunday. We'll have put some journals team come on, talk about the time to be grateful for coming up in next month. Wow. That's in 2 weeks. I'm going to New Jersey for that. Any more announcements? Yes, ma'am. Yes, it's about the Muslim American Veterans Association that came in. And also, any more of those kits put together? The care kits put together by the weekend school students. So, if you're a veteran, you can get one. Okay, we have, we'll see. Maurice is on for the break. You like college? Yeah. from the great Callahan. He's at Purdue. And what's your degree? What's your study again? Megatronics. Is it? Mecca? How you spell that? Mechatronics. Okay, engineering? I'm being lost. I'm being back there. Yes. And so Sister Khadija with us from Indianapolis, by way of Mississippi. Sister Khadija, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I like the Nasa lot. Alhamdulillah. Good, good. Thank you. And your family. Yeah, we had your son join us last week. Yes. Yeah, that was nice. And brought a guest. And brought a guest with them. Yes. Brought a guest with them. Yes. Yes. Now, we're walking in now is, I have to call her grandmother now. So this is my daughter-in-law's mother. Can you stand, please? Yes. Yeah, this is Hamid's mother-in-law. All right. Down from Cameroon. Hamidullah Chuck Bear. Yes, yes. So this is Sister Layla, you want to introduce your mother to us? Yeah. Short and the prayers are close. So within the next 5-10 minutes, we time for offer prayer. So today, what time is prayer? For offer prayer. Anybody know? Yes. At 3:05. Go ahead and make it sooner. By then, it'll be time for. Also good.
Evidence convincing, like the seeing with the eye. This is the message of the Quran. Should we, knowing this, having this great knowledge, should we preach today like the man preached to the people in primitive times? Should we use the same language? Should we compose our text to satisfy the primitive, the jinn, and the primitive people? when we live in a society that is enlightened. We live in an enlightened society. The society has the primitive nature. We are caught in the grip of primitive nature, but we are an enlightened society. To bring the man out of his primitiveness, shouldn't you appeal to his strength? You should appeal to his enlightenment. But if he has no enlightenment, you have to appeal to his common sense, to his good nature. But when the man has some enlightenment, shouldn't you appeal to his enlightenment? To shame him, to let him know how he now has fallen beneath his own standards, has fallen beneath his own doctrine? Yes. Some people want me to stand up here and just quote hadith. Some people would like for me to read the Quran letter for letter and quote hadith, and not bother referring or comparing the Bible with the Quran. They are backwards. They are still in primitive days. They have allowed themselves to lose sight on the key for success. The key for success is to stay in tune with the time, with the nature and the demands of time. You don't come and preach to Christians like you preach to a heathen who's been worshiping sticks and stones. Even if you find a Christian worshiping sticks and stones, you don't address him as though he's a heathen worshiping sticks and stones. If you find a man drunk, do you address him as a drunk? Or do you address him as a human being with intelligence? Say, man, you should be ashamed of yourself, getting in this fix, giving yourself to this weakness. Look what you're doing to your wife. Look how you're shaming yourself before your children. We don't apply the same rules of intelligence in religion that we apply in our daily life. No. I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, that much of the Quran is yet to be understood by the Arabs. In order to understand the predicate and the subject, they need to study the Jewish people and the Christian people more. They need to study the books that have been revealed to those people so they can see what problems was the Holy Quran addressing? What problems was Allah addressing through his Prophet Muhammad that were existing in the texts of the Jews and in the texts of the Christians? Don't isolate yourself from this world that God was speaking to. God was addressing this whole world. Atheist, Christian, Jew, and whatever they are, Allah addressed the whole world through Prophet Muhammad. And anyone who thinks he can come from Arabia and close his eyes to the whole world and teach us the Quran is a blind fool. He cannot understand the Quran in any appreciable fashion until he first understands the environment that he's in. And when he leaves Arabia and comes to America, he's in a drastically different environment. So he should stop worrying about the superficial things, the rituals, the ritualistic things. He should give up his fear of losing the things that are close to him in his Arabian environment. And he should become conscious of the things that have been lost from the Jewish environment, from the Christian environment that God intended for them. And he revealed the Quran to guide us back to the way, not only Muslims, Jews, Christians, all of us. We have to accept that Abraham is our father. Adam is our father. Also Abraham is our father. Adam represents the common man. The common man is our father. but also Abraham is our father. We have been raised by our common fathers, and we have been raised by God's prophets. The first father is a common man. The second father is a prophet of God. Isn't that right? God says of Abraham, Abikum Ibrahim, your father Abraham. Yes, so that's our father. Why he didn't say your father Moses? Moses was a prophet. Why he didn't say your father Jesus? Jesus was a prophet. Why he said your father Abraham? Because Abraham is a prophet whose role was that of a parent, a father responsible for his children. Abraham was raised up among pagan people who had lots of ignorance, primitive ignorance. And Abraham was guided to search for truth with a rational eye. He observed the stars and the sun and everything, and he saw in the movement of sky a sign that there is a creator, a planner, a designer behind all of this, and that he's not one, two, he's not three, pardon me, two, three, and four. He's not many. He's one. He saw one nature, one creation, and one pattern, one design dominating throughout the whole creation. And he says there's one God, and there is no God associated with that God. Everything else is servant. Everything else is creation and servant. Only one God. Abraham said that. Then Abraham was moved to even share his own life, the life of his own loins, to serve people. Abraham is a symbol of charity. He was ready to kill his own son to please God. But God told him that having the desire was the same as effecting it. That he had not, God didn't want him to kill his son. But he had shown faith because he was willing to kill his son. That even his own child could be sacrificed. He was going to please God. So Abraham was moved by two strong influences. The search for truth. Rational motivation. And he was moved by faith. Faith in God. A faith that did not weaken even when his own child's life was at stake. His faith did not weaken. And God told him to kill the ram, the sheep. Kill the lamb. Let that be the sacrifice. And feed it to the people. So he took one of his lambs and he shared it with his neighbors, with his people, with fellow men. Is that right? So he, instead of killing his son, he practiced charity. He practiced charity. So this brought Abraham to be also the symbol of charity, of charitableness in our religion. He's a great symbol of charity. And he's a symbol of rational searching for truth. And the symbol of strong faith. He's all of these. Is that right? Isn't that in every human being that really loves God sincerely, that really want to be right with God? Aren't those the things that's staring in him, moving him on? A desire to be right by others. Is that right? A desire to be truthful. A desire to be rational and not stupid or silly. We're not satisfied with a religion that's mystified and superstitious. We want reality. The human nature presses us to find reality, to find the absolute truth, to find truth unveiled, separated from superstition and mystery. Is that right? We are moved like that. Abraham is a symbol of that, the symbol of that thirst for naked truth. He wouldn't accept any superstition. He wouldn't accept half-truth. He wanted the whole truth, the plain, rational truth. What brought him to seek it and not give up? Faith in God. The strength of Abraham was his faith in God. This shows you, brother and sister, what will make the best scientist. The best force to move the scientist to his highest peak, to his greatest glory, is faith in God. Right faith in God will lead you to truth, and you will never give up. You will die on the path of truth. Right faith in Almighty God. Yes, right faith in Almighty God brings out the rational man and brings out the moral man and also brings out the charitable person. Because as long as we are short of truth, believing, having faith in God, as long as we are short of truth, we are not satisfied. If truth say, oh, you still have to go a little bit more. Say, well, what is the next step I have to take, truth? You have to give up your own son's life. That truth seeker will say, son, I'm sorry, but there has to be a sacrifice today. And Abraham, he was weeping, but he said, son, there has to be a sacrifice today. Because I know God is God. And I know that I have been inspired to do this thing. And I'm going to do it because I believe in truth. He didn't say, well, this is my son. I can rationalize here. No, if you believe God speaking, if God says take the son's life, you have to obey if you're a man of truth. Yes, so he says that Abraham, when he was about to take his son's life, God says, no, Abraham. Says, the vision that you had, you've already fulfilled it. Meaning that God only did this to test you, Abraham. God was not really, was not wanting your son's life. God was wanting to bring out before humanity the faith of the, in the human being, the love for God, and the faith that the human being has in his God, that he will even slay his most beloved son if he think God asked that of him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? This is not God's nature, this is human nature. God is showing us the beauty of human nature. That this creature that we laugh at, we call him primitive, we laugh at him, that he carried his children up and sacrificed them to his God. He would take his 12-year-old son and sacrifice it to his false God. We look on it and say, oh, look at primitive man, how stupid it was, how he sacrificed his young son to a God that he believed in. But God wanted to show us that in that human being, in that ignorance that you laugh at, is the power for social salvation. That if a human being can sacrifice the thing most dearest to him, while believing that God wants it of him, that same human being can solve all of our social problems and share the wealth of the nation with other people for God's sake, but he can't do it for his own sake. So we look back in history and we laugh at the stumbling, the crawling and the stumbling of human beings trying to reach their destiny on earth. But God says, no, that's not anything for you to laugh at. That human beings sacrificed their sons. They believed in the God. The stone was not the God. The tree was not the God. The wind was not the God. The lightning was not the God. None of those things were the God. The earth and its fertility was not the God. But that individual believed that it was the God. And he sacrificed his own child's life, his private child's life, to please the God. A sign that if you have faith in God, there is nothing we can't accomplish in the area of human problems. Nothing we can't accomplish in the area of human problems. Look how men lead the whole nation astray, corrupt the whole society for love of self, for love of a woman, for love of a small brat, But look how other human beings sacrifice the most beloved in the family. Sacrifice them for the sake of God. But God says he wants not burnt sacrifices. He wants no human sacrifices. That the sacrifice he wants is a repentant heart. A heart that regrets. A heart that feels remorse. A heart that cries because it sees its sins and confesses. Yes. That's what God wants of us. And look how he showed us that in Abraham. The man was about to kill his own son. God says, no, what you were asked for in the vision, you have already done it. The intention is there, Abraham. You had the pure intention. Your intention was to sacrifice your own son's life if it stood in the way of God. If it blocked the way of God, you were willing to sacrifice your own son's life. Say, Abraham, now, here. Here is the strength you need. Here is the decision you need, Abraham, to make this society right. There are men that hoard up gold, men that keep the fat calf for themselves. They keep the lamb for themselves and they give the poor the cheap, inferior things. Say, Abraham, now here, you are the one that I'm going to make father of the nation. The man who has the faith in God so strong that he follows truth to his end and he follows the path of social struggle to his end, even though it asks of the thing that's most dear to him, he giveth to please Almighty God. We have to believe that Abraham is the ideal image, a symbol of the leadership in the society. Prophet Muhammad, he's the last prophet. The last prophet. The most complete of all the prophets. But even Prophet Muhammad called Abraham his father. Abraham's also his father. Yes. And the order of Prophet Muhammad is the order of Abraham. The upright one. Isn't that what Allah says to us? Millah Ibrahim Hanifa. The order of Abraham, the upright one. That is the order established by Prophet Muhammad. It wasn't established by Abraham. He was just a symbol of it. A symbol of what had to come. But there had to be somebody to bring the complete revelation, to fulfill the book, and complete the ordering of society. And establish what Abraham began and what he was what he was and still is a symbol of. Prophet Muhammad was given that mission and he did it. Now I bring this talk to a close with again the words of the Quran. God says that he created us from the clay and from a semen drop and a clot of blood, congealed blood, and a lump of flesh, the fetus lump. And he formed in the fetus lump of flesh, bone. Then he clothed the bones with flesh. Thereafter he began or he makes another, a new creation. These are the words of the Quran. Now, let us look at this. Flesh comes lastly in this forming of the being in the womb of the mother. Is that right? Flesh comes last. Now, we know in Western religion, and even in the, well, I would say in many religions, East and West, flesh has become the mark of sin. Have become almost synonymous with the term sin. Flesh is sinful. Flesh is sinful. Almighty God says that he formed the man and along these stages, structured his bones, then clothed his bones with flesh. there's a then, another creation. The seventh one comes, there is a new creation, the seventh one. So this tells us that the sixth one is the highest of the first creation. Is that right? Yes, because it began with clay, semen drop, and all up until it comes with the bones, and then it clothes the bones with the flesh. So flesh is the highest one. What are we to understand, Muslim, from this? How is this to be understood? In many, many ways. But let's go directly to the essential message for the scriptural people. Knowledge. Knowledge. Man comes into knowledge, and knowledge is what dressed this society. Before knowledge comes, passion, blood relation, blood ties, and other things hold the society and dress the society. Primitive custom. Is that right? Yes, tradition, custom. These things hold the society. But once man gets into knowledge, he breaks out of tradition. He breaks out of custom. And he reformed tradition. He reformed custom. He might sacrifice tradition. He might sacrifice custom. Because custom changed over and over. Is that right? Yes. And when we call the people to Islam, don't we call them to leave their custom? We call them away from their traditions. We call them away from their custom. And what are we calling them with? Is it tradition calling tradition? Is it custom calling custom? It's knowledge. So we grow up, what is the highest level? Knowledge. Knowledge. It doesn't mean that it's most essential. It's most essential once it comes. But there's something even more important than that. It's nature. Human nature. If the human being is out of the human nature, the knowledge will not do you any good. Unless it can influence you to come back into your human nature. Is that right? So nature, human nature, is a faith. It's the foundation on the human form or the human vessel into which you must put the knowledge. And the knowledge enhances the value, the worth, and everything of the person. Is that right? Makes him even improve upon his human nature. But he has to have the right nature first. So look here now. The flesh is knowledge. That's what the flesh is. We're talking about flesh and religion. Man is born in sin. Flesh is sinful. The flesh is filled with lust. The knowledge is sinful when it's not right knowledge. The knowledge is filled with lust when it's not right knowledge. The people who studied so-called backward society, so-called backward primitive cultures, their findings tell us that primitive man has not had a bigger problem with lust, as big a problem with lust as knowledge or so-called enlightened man. Knowledgeable man, so-called enlightened man, has had more problems with sex, the lust, than any other creature. The dog, as shameful as he is at times, look at his virtues. That dog has virtues that many of us have in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam don't have. Faithfulness, loyalty, and even cleanliness. Look how he hates to stay in his filth. The dog doesn't like to sleep in his filth. He'll go outside of the place he sleeps to make his filth. The place that he spends his nap and take his sleep and spend his time night, he doesn't want filth in that place. The dog will go outside, even in your front room, and drop it, rather than drop it in that place where he has to sleep and stay. But look at some human beings, how they make the filth and let sleep in it. And they are uncomfortable out of it. They got to hurry up and get back home and put their nose in the stink. Are you going to tell me flesh is bad? Flesh is the trouble? We have to stay on alert for the terrible, troublesome flesh? No. We have to be on alert for the terrible, troublesome, devious mind. Flesh is the base. It's the pillar. Flesh is the foundation. for structuring society. What do we mean by that? The flesh is what give us our first leader. Your first leader is given to you by the influences of the flesh. Hunger, pain, comfort, sexual intermixing with his companions, the fruit of that intercourse. All of that is what feeds us with human sentiment, with moral concepts and compassion, concepts of compassion, of sympathy, of love. Isn't that given to us by the flesh? The flesh gives us all of that. The flesh makes me cuddle the baby. The flesh makes the baby want to cuddle thick, nice to me. The flesh makes me want to hold my wife. The flesh makes my wife want to hold me. Is that right? Yeah. The flesh put little babies together. Look how they play and how nice they are. Look how they love to be cuddled. That's the flesh. The flesh says, feed me. And when you feed, the flesh says, thank you. Is that right? The flesh says, protect me. And when you protect the flesh says, thank you. So where is the problem in the flesh? The flesh is unclean. There's a sense in the flesh called the sense of smell. And this sense in the flesh says, get this away from me. Little baby crying. You carrying your filth on you, and you stinking so bad, we smell you 2 blocks away. And you are not crying, but that little baby, nobody taught the baby to cry when the stink is on it. Stink get on the baby cries. So how is the flesh sinful? Huh? The flesh is the beginning of the evolution of society. It's the very first base. So in Islam, we don't reject flesh. Instead of rejecting it, we make flesh the base, the foundation of a structuring society. We have to first acknowledge this, that man is made of flesh, and God has made flesh good, not bad, not sinful. Allah says that he has dignified every son of Adam. Those who study the Quran, they should understand that this doesn't mean the son of Christ, or the son of Moses, or the son of Idris, or the son of Jesus Christ, or the son of Abraham. It means what it says, the son of Adam. He has dignified every son of Adam. It's not necessary for another one to come and for us to have dignified sons. No, the son of Adam is dignified. What does that mean? The man who lives in his human nature, the man who lives under the influence of his flesh, is a dignified creature. It's my mind that leads me to commit sin. The flesh is the most obedient, form we have, the flesh. You know that? Right now, I've been talking to you for an hour or so. My flesh has not interfered with my talking to you, not once. I have come up here sometimes sick. Be truthful with you. I come up here, I feel like going to bed. I feel like I shouldn't be here. I come up here and I talk to you for 4 hours, 5 hours. My flesh stops complaining. Says he wants to do something more important, so I'm not going to complain. Before I was come up here, the flesh was complaining. Please take me home. I need to be in bed. Give me some tea or some aspirin. But as soon as I got up here and started doing something for God, something more valuable than saving the flesh from a headache or temperature, the flesh said, go on, do your thing, man. This is more important than me. Where is that backward preacher going to come from to tell me flesh is sinful. How come it's sinful? If I go look at Playboy magazine and the flesh responds to the pictures that I accept, the flesh is not going to respond until I accept it. And the flesh ain't going to jump up there and say, hey, keep your eye on Playboy. No. But if I go there and put my mind to it and pick up the book and look at those Playboy magazines and all the other magazines and get my mind on that thing, then the flesh responds to my desire. Isn't that right? The flesh responds to my desire. But some of us are still so caught up in our old teaching that we can't understand. Prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be upon him, he would not stand for a human being, a living human being. I don't care how big a shot you were. If you came and Prophet Muhammad was sitting, he didn't stand up out of respect for your position. And he insisted that no one stood up for him that way out of respect for his position. When he came in, no one had to, no one said, rise, attention, rise. No, when Prophet Muhammad came in, everybody was left sitting. They didn't have to rise up. But look what this great prophet did. A deceased body, a dead body. And that's all it is, the dead body. Once the life of the human being is out of the body, it's just a dead body. Here is nothing but a dead body being carried to its destination, to its final resting place. Prophet Muhammad stood up and taught his followers to stand up when their dead body is being passed by, or being coming past your way. So don't remain sitting and doing your thing, what you were doing, when the body comes by that has ceased and is going to its destination. Stand, religious fanatic. Why don't you let us get out of this crouch? But now you sit in the crouch for 4 and 6 hours. Why? The body accepts what you put on it. Oh, the flesh is sinful. No, no, no. Christianity has misunderstood the sign of Christ. The sign of Christ was not to condemn flesh. The sign of Christ was to restore flesh back to its great place of dignity, of great social worth. That's the sign of Christ. That here is a man in a flesh body, but he's righteous. He's not bothered by greed. He's not bothered by lust. He's righteous. He has full control of his life, and yet in a flesh body. They miss the message. The message is to establish that every human being's flesh is good, not bad. Only thing you have to do is separate yourself from your earthly father and follow the guidance of your heavenly father, Almighty God. Accept to be formed from the very beginning of life by God's direction and not by the world's direction. And you can accomplish those things. Your flesh makes a problem for you because it is corrupted. The germ of false knowledge comes into it. The germs of worldly leadership come into your flesh. But if you keep out the germs of worldly leadership and let only the inspiration, the ruach, the inspiration of God, inspire your development, you will not have trouble with flesh. Flesh is a completely obedient servant. It is such a great servant that even the flesh now become a symbol of salvation. Is that right? Yes, the flesh of Christ become a symbol of salvation. They have faith in Christ that man's flesh did not commit sin, and that man, because of his righteousness, was resurrected and live again. Is that right? Yes. And he said, Christ in me and Christ in you. I in you and you in me. And we all in the Father. Not as separate bodies, but all under the same Spirit. The inspiration of God has formed me and directs me. Now through me it has formed you and it directs you. and the inspiration come from God. We're all held by the same power and force, all held by the same influence. Is that right? So if he had no father, the church has no father. You ever heard of a father of the church? Yes. The Catholic father, he's a father of the church. Right? But look, the Bible says, call no man your father. Is that right? Yes, call no man your father. But the father, he makes himself the father of a church. And Jesus, when they were calling him a rabbi, he rejected it. Is that right? Yes. And he told his people to call no man father except he that is in heaven. But they have fathers over the church. But look at the church. Look at the church and think about it. The man that's over the church is a preacher, a reverend, a shepherd. Only in Catholicism, he's a father. Is that right? Yes. He's not a father. Now look at the New Testament on Jesus himself in the church. There was a wedding. And a husband man. Is that right? There was a man marrying a woman. A bride and a bridegroom. Ask them, who is the bride? They'll tell you, the bride is the church. Ask them, who is the groom? They'll tell you, the groom is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, the prophet, married the church. How can the preacher now, how can the bishop or the priest be the father of that church? Huh? Tell me, does that make sense? That Jesus, who made teachers under him, now one of the teachers become the father, and he is the husband. He's the husband marrying the girl, the bride. Right? And over the church now, over his wife is a father. Over Jesus' wife is a father. And that father is Father Peter or Father John or whatever you want to call it. How can that be? They will tell you, brother and sister, they will tell you that Jesus is the bride, the groom, and the church is his bride. They'll tell you that. And then they tell you that the priest now is the father of the church. How can he be the father of Jesus' bride? If that makes sense, does it? No, he cannot be the father. And if you live long enough, you're going to see the Catholic Church change even more. They're going to stop, they're going to outlaw the calling of father in the church. If you live long enough, you'll see this, inshallah. You're going to live to see the Catholic Church get rid of the title father from the church. They're quiet because it's not in line with their teaching. And everything that's not in line is going to have to be sacrificed. Yes. So in my conclusion now, I ask all of you to stop seeing flesh as sinful. This is a crippling ignorance on us that will never allow us to be healthy as a people and as a society. As long as we think that the flesh in which the human being is formed, from which we get our thoughts, is sinful, that means that our beginning is sinful. That's too heavy a burden for human beings to carry and yet progress and aspire to human greatness. No, it's too heavy a burden. You become weird. You become spooky. You become unnatural beings because you don't want to face the naturalness that they have made sinful. You become monks, nuns, witches, angels. You become things that you're not supposed to be. God wants us to be human beings. If we want to liberate society, we should spread this teaching. that God Almighty mission Prophet Muhammad to put flesh back on its high place of respect, dignity. The black stone, what do you think is symbolic of? Wasn't the black stone a shining star? Did God build the Kaaba on the heavens, on a shining star? No, the shining stone, the stone fell, and the light went out of it. And God used the black stone that had no light as the most precious stone in the building of the Kaaba, the holy house. Is that right? It became the cornerstone, the essential stone for building the Kaaba, the house of God, our society, world society, human society. What is the meaning of that? Man had gone up in the sky and left his flesh nature behind him and had taken on the glow of angel nature. He was up in the sky shining as an angel and left his human form down here in the dirt, neglected. And God missioned the prophet to take the black stone and put it in the place to make it the corner of the building as a sign that God does not want the monk, the priest that never touched black. You know, they even made us not touch black. Up here until recently, all the man's underclothes were white. Yeah, you know that. And your flesh wasn't supposed to touch. No black touch the flesh out here, especially around the heart. White undershirt and white drawers. To protect the black heart and the sinful loins. Right? Yeah. Gotta have the white to protect the black heart. That human being, that sinful creature with that black heart. And troublemaking loins. But Almighty God inspired Prophet Muhammad, no, take the black stone and put it in its place. As a sign that the world is going to be built all over again. And it shall begin with flesh. That flesh is the cornerstone of society. Isn't this a message that will inspire people and bring a new revolution, a new evolution for social excellence? Well, why come we don't preach it? That's what we should be preaching. And if we preach that, we will be fulfilling the sign of Christ. As Christ came not to make us nuns and monks, angels, that Christ's mission was to serve as a sign that the sin is not in the flesh, the sin is in the intention. What do you intend? Your nature is good. God has made you of excellent nature. But what is your intention, man? You can be spotless physically, but if your intention is bad, you're filthy. Is that right? Yes. So in the language of the gospel, it says, it is not what goes into the man, but what comes out of his heart. Is that right? It is what the thoughts that rise up in the human heart. And that makes some stupid people that don't understand the mystery of Christ. It makes them think that the heart is sinful. No, the heart is not sinful. The heart is good. But if you allow sin to form in your heart, then the best part of you have become corrupt. That part that was meant for your salvation has now become the very instrument of your damnation. Is that right? Why? If I let corruption come in the best part of me, I'm inviting death. Yes. So Jesus was not saying that the heart is bad. Jesus the Christ or the gospel is saying to us, the spot to watch is the most precious spot. Don't worry about the places of less importance. Don't be so concerned about what the hand is doing, what the tongue is saying. There's something more precious, more vital to the human being's life than even his hand, than even his tongue. It's his intentions. And his intentions are influenced by his heart. The heart is a symbol of man's desire. Can we have a life without desire? Can society grow without desire? Shouldn't we have desire first in order to get something started? Where there's no desire, isn't there death? Find me a people with no desire. There's a dead people. So the very foundation, the very place for us to begin building society is the heart, the flesh. The heart is a symbol of the flesh, is the heart. And the heart is a symbolic of desire. We love creatures, and we think of the heart being that organ that's sending that love out. Is that right? The source of that. And we have other desires. So the ancient people saw the heart as a symbolic of the seat of desire. The seat of desire. The source of the desire. God does not reject the human heart. God accepts the human heart. And God does not say the human heart is sinful. God says the human heart is good. How can we build society saying the human heart is bad? If we get started, we have to start with the human heart. I don't care how great your knowledge is or how great my ability is to reach you with my knowledge. If your heart is bad, we won't get anywhere. Now you see our mistake. Can't you see our mistake? We have called flesh sinful, and really what they meant was that the heart was sinful. They say the human being is a creature with a black sinful heart. God say, no, no. Good gracious, no. This is a terrible lie, an outrage. Prophet Muhammad, tell my creatures that I have made them in the best of molds, that I have made their shapes and their form most excellent, that I have given them their features and I have made them handsome, beautiful. Here is God trying to wash out that old stuff you've just been putting into your mind through his prophet, telling you that he has made your form and made them most beautiful, that he has made your nature in the best of molds, and that matters are judged by intention. This is the rule in Islam. He didn't say matters are judged by the degree of logic you are able to exercise. He didn't say matters are judged by your moral excellence. There are some people who live on high standards of moral excellence. But when you search into there, into the core of that moral edifice they have established, you find Satan himself in the heart of it. Yes. No, but God inspired Prophet Muhammad to tell us that the intention, that is the beginning of it. That's the beginning of it, and that's the end of it. And God is going to judge us by our intentions. Because man is not always responsible for his knowledge. The human being is not God. He cannot be sure that what he understands to be right is right. But what about your intention? Say, God, that appeared to me so convincing. It was rational. It was logic. It compared. It agreed with everything that you said of Scripture. God will say, but what was your intention, man? Was your intention to rob? Was your intention to escape judgment? Was your intention to get glory and recognition for yourself? What was your intention, man? So God says, build society upon the strength of the human heart, upon flesh in its excellence, because that's what I'm going to judge you by. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.